there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Bob Scana with Ragent Corporation. Bob, thanks so much for being on the show.
Happy to be here.
Now, Ragent has been part of the Rowan County community for a few years now, but your operation did not begin in Kentucky. Tell us a little bit about where it started.
It began in Pennsylvania in the late fall of 2001, and I and a few other folks created the company as a response to 9/11. They had significant massive communication failures at the World Trade Centers that day. And we as a group reacted to that by saying, could we develop technology, broadband wireless technology that could be rapidly deployed and basically self-operate in the event of emergencies? And we set out to create that technology, and we did. An interesting thing is we thought we would sell a lot of it into the first responder and emergency response community, but we sold absolutely nothing, which probably says more about my sales abilities than it does about the product. However, the U.S. military took an interest, and then a total bluebird was the mining industry, beginning with the Kennecott Copper Mine out in Salt Lake City. And that was our first real commercial customer. And from that one mine, we're in 250 mines around the world now, and we've grown from that first idea to where we're now doing business, I think, as of last week, in 60 countries. So came a long way from that early start in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And things have changed a little bit, you know, since your organization opened here in Rowan County in Morehead. It seems that there's been a lot more focused in on the space science fields, that especially with the space programs that are available here at Morehead State University.
Well, that's true. I mean, the story of how I found my way to Morehead is, I think, an interesting one, and certainly the Space and Science Center. It was a fella up here who was representing me as a lawyer at the time, and he suggested to me one day that, you know, knew I wanted to expand, and he said, had you ever considered Eastern Kentucky? I was like, no. And so he told me about, you know, how great the people were, and how things were lower cost, people were hardworking, and he said, he knew somebody in Congressman Hal Rogers' office that maybe could get me an introduction to the area. And so we pursued that, and Chairman Rogers' office got me introduced to Brett Traver of the, I guess, Southeastern Kentucky Economic Development Group. And Brett met me at the airport, and he said he was going to drive me through Chairman Rogers' congressional district. Now, up here in northeastern, you know, in Philadelphia area in the Northeast, a drive through a congressional district might take, you know, 30 minutes. But Brett assured me that I would need to pack provisions to drive through Chairman Rogers' district as we went around for 2 days. And everywhere we went was spectacular, but the people were great. Brett was so welcoming. And the first place we stopped was Morehead State University. And I was, you know, we pulled up there, and there's this Space and Science Center. And I walked in, and I was introduced to a fellow by the name of Jeff Kruth, who helps Dr. Malfrus run the place. And, you know, he showed me the facility, and I was just blown away by the capabilities there, particularly what the students were doing, which is they were, you know, as part of their undergraduate experience, they were actually designing and building all elements of satellites, giving them tremendous skill set. And so we traveled around the district, and I came back to Brett, and I said, look, you know, really, I'd be interested in doing something down here, but I'd really want to do it in conjunction with what's going on in that space and science center. And that's how we developed the relationship with Jeff and Ben and Dr. Malfrus. And over the years, I've hired many, many graduates out of there. And it's a goal for us to take our core technology and get it up on satellites. And so we'll be doing further work, I expect, in that area. In the meantime, the young folks we've hired down there have done a fantastic job of, they've now developed some very sophisticated service and support tools for our global customer base. And additionally, we're doing assembly down there for both commercial and military products. And the facility is ISO 9001 certified, I believe. And we're also appropriately authorized to do military assembly or defense-related assembly down there. So the team that we've hired out of the university and other local folks has proven to be extraordinarily capable in many areas. It's just smart people who work really hard, and that's a great formula. Mm-hmm. So I've been very, very pleased, really across the board, with how the university reacted, the Space and Science Center reacted. For us, it's been a gold mine. It's a treasure to find so many talented young people with such drive and determination, plus integrity. It's really been a wonderful success story driven by local people, all starting from the suggestion from Al Rogers' office.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was actually at the meeting that happened at the Moorhead Conference Center, where I believe it was you said that you were going to expand, and this was sometime last year, with a new building. Right now, Region is located just off campus at a smaller facility that used to be a store of some sort.
And it was a Napa store.
I think it was a Napa store. And right next to the laundromat and here in town. But I knew that you were going to expand, but to go from a 9,000 square foot facility to a new facility that's 48,000 square feet. And I don't know if our listeners are aware that it's going to be the spec building out on the MMRC in the industrial park. And, that was just recently made public. Why such a large building and such a big expansion?
Well, my mom always would say I would always fill my plate with more than she expected, particularly when it involved dessert. So we're very ambitious as a company, and we are, we've remained open through this COVID viral activity, and we have the company has amazingly continued to grow this year in the face of very difficult environment. And that's just a reflection of the team. And so we've actually been hiring people through the last several months, and we're expanding really in all our product areas. And I thought, well, in for a dime, in for a dollar, we're really committed down there. Will our immediate consumption of the space will be 15 or 16,000 square feet. We're going through the architectural process right now to get our build out designed and then completed over the next few months. But I am also working very hard to expand further into that building. And there's some really, really fascinating stuff that I have ongoing right this second that involves some international work for us that will immediately have us utilize even more space. But it's premature for me to announce that, but I can tease you about it. It's very cool, and there's a high probability of it happening, and we'll have something to announce on that over the next month or two. But the bottom line is, we think given the opportunities that Raygen is generating all around the world for our core technology and our ability to both design and manufacture that I expect to grow further and further into that facility. And we're going to be there a long time. So why not just get the space now and then grow into it? You know, we did similar things to our, you know, our office up here in the Philadelphia area. We just bought this building, 28,000 square feet, a couple of years ago. And, you know, I thought it would be too big and it's already too small. Mm-hmm. So, and I kind of wish I bought the building next door in combination. So it was like, you know, I was confronting the fact that I regretted not having more space here. And then with the opportunity in Kentucky, I said, you know what, I'm not going to have that same regret again. Let's just get the space. And then the obligation is on the Ragin folks to perform and execute and grow the business, which I expect we'll do.
I think the nature of your organization adds this kind of air of mystery because you do work with the United States military. You do work with international customers who are very guarded with their communication technology for a reason. So it's kind of interesting when we've discussed what Ragin does here, we can't really get that specific.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. We do, I mean, to think the industrial side of what we do, it's mining, rail, ports, those are, and oil and gas. It's a fascinating thing because, our technology is in 1,000 different places now. What's really interesting, you would think, well, some big mine in South Africa, do they really care that other mining companies know what and how they utilize a particular technology? You would think, they wouldn't care that much, but they do. So it's, we always have to be respectful of, what our customer ultimately said, is willing to say about what we do. But, in general, we are on the commercial side, a commercial telecommunications networking company, and we sell really to large industrial customers globally. It was never part of the plan. They just, those various industries heard about us in different ways and we've grown and we continue to grow. We just recently added Tanzania, Alice, I think, to our roster of countries where we do business. And I often think, when I set out to start the company, I was just trying to make payroll for 2 weeks. Never occurred to me we'd be doing business in 60 countries around the world. So the technology is for the most part, we're pretty open about what we do, and people are always welcome to come by and Moorhead and say, hey, what you got going on here? The military stuff's a little bit of a different issue, but certainly the commercial stuff. We can talk about the type of things we do. A few customers are willing to publicly describe what we do, but in general, we're able to talk about the industry customers in kind of a broader sense.
Right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Leon Smothers, your host for That Was Radio, where we explore programs and personalities of radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. Our next program will feature one of radio's most popular action programs, The Adventures of Superman. Join me for That Was Radio on Sunday, July the 5th at 2 p.m. on WMKY, Moorhead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Bob Scana, the president of Ragin Corporation. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
We're talking about the expansion that the company is doing here in Rowan County. You were located in downtown Moorhead, and now you're going to be moving out to the industrial park area with a very large new facility out there. And you're also going to be providing some new jobs in the community.
We are. I expect we're probably at 24 jobs right now, and I'm pretty comfortable over the next few years, we're going to grow up to 50. You know, we'll be at 50. Now we can go higher, but it's obviously a function of, you know, how well we're performing, how well we're executing on our plan corporate wide. But I expect to get to 50 without a lot of struggle. And it'll be a blend, I think. It'll be, you know, more graduates of Morehead State and the Space and Science Center, but also some tech folks, assembly folks. You know, as our assembly activities there increases, we'll need, you know, a broader array of the type of people we hire. But fully expect to grow, intend to grow, and that's why we're doing this.
Now, did the expansion decisions have anything to do with the tax incentives that are being provided?
Well, I'd have to say that they made all the difference. You know, this is a tough environment. Not Eastern Kentucky's not tough, just the whole moment we're in, right, of the economic impact of the COVID virus. And, you know, it really helped that the state and the economic community there stepped up to be supportive. It got the decision to the finish line. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. In addition to the direct dollar value, it's really signifies the support of the state and local community, which is very important to a project of this nature.
With those tax incentives come certain expectations that Regent will have to meet, one of them being increasing over the next several years to 26 additional full-time jobs. And then in addition to that, having an average hourly wage that is well above the state minimum wage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not driven by the minimum wage. I'm driven by the value of the work that people do. And the work they do down there is important, and they're skilled and capable people. And that's what happy to pay people, you know, what they're worth relative to the, you know, to the work that they put out. So I expect, you know, the minimum wage is way in our rearview mirror in regards to how we view things.
I feel like the expectation from people, maybe not my listeners, because we talk about the exceptional things that people from the community are doing all the time. But I think the expectation of what people are capable of in Eastern Kentucky, in Appalachia, the bar is maybe a little lower sometimes. So are people that you internationally interact with through business or otherwise, are they surprised that you have this facility in Eastern Kentucky?
Well, yeah, I often get the Eastern, why Kentucky, why Eastern Kentucky? You know, look, it's, you know, in the world, I'm all over the world on stuff. So, I mean, look, the world is a very different perspective of the U.S. to begin with. We're in the Philadelphia suburbs, and, you know, most people around the world, they don't have any idea about Philadelphia, right? The country began in Philadelphia. It's like, where is that? It's near D.C. and New York, which everybody knows about D.C. and New York. So Kentucky is, you know, and particularly Eastern Kentucky, it's kind of the same thing. You know, I mean, where is that? What goes on there? I mean, it's, people are surprised. And then when I explain, you know, the logic behind the decision and the capability that, you know, that resides in the area and in the people, and, I tell them, I say, look, our investment there in the buildings and the people, it's been a spectacular success from my perspective as the CEO of the company. So I tell everybody around the world, and I say, you know, it's like an open secret that, you know, I don't know why more people aren't taking advantage of it, because, you know, I could do it 10 times bigger. I would. I mean, we have had nothing but great reception right from the day I got off the plane, and Brett Traver met me at the plane, and the, not just in Morehead, but, you know, Pikeville, Mount Sterling, Somerset, everywhere I've been to, people have been great, you know, and I'm a kid from Jersey City, right? So you go, wow, those those Eastern Kentuckians, they're not going to like your funny accent. I didn't even know I had an accent. But when people told me they liked my accent in Kentucky, I'm like, I don't have an accent. You have an accent. So, but people have been, right from the first moment, very welcoming, open arms. What can we do to help you? And that, you know, that's a nice start, but the proof is in the execution of all the work we do down there by the people we hired. They deliver, and they deliver without, you know, without a lot of fuss. They just work really hard. They're very smart. And you know what? It's they're like, you know, we are doing things around. We send these young people on like no notice to like, Zach, you know, tomorrow, like right now we have, is it Zach Taube? I think Alice is on the ground in Italy.
Yes, correct.
Project. And it's a fascinating project. It involves artificial intelligence applied to diagnosing COVID. And, you know, I sent him on literally no notice to Milan last week, and he's doing a fantastic job. And it applies like across the board. I could send these folks. I sent them to Scotland. I sent them to Africa. We sent them to South America. We sent them to Asia. And, you know, on like 48 hours notice, there's some youngster from Eastern Kentucky's on a plane and landed on the ground and making Raging look good and making us all proud. So, you know, I keep telling everybody I talk, I said, you know what, I'm going to brag on the place, but don't you come in there and hire those folks because we want them.
I know the company hires a lot of different kinds of people for different jobs, designers, engineers, technicians, assemblers. When do you anticipate the new jobs will begin, and what kind of education?
Well, we're interviewing right now. I expect over the next 90 days, we'll probably hire 5 or 6 more people.
Skills or education?
It's kind of light. It's light assembly. So it's a blend from light assembly to software development, hardware development. So it's across the board, a skill set from lesser skill to higher engineering skill. But I would say probably right now, I think if I recall my discussion with our HR people a couple of days ago, it's 5 or 6 folks we're looking to hire in the near, really, you know, immediately. And I think there's, I could be wrong on this, but I think we have like LinkedIn advertisement stuff for the jobs. So I know we're in the process of going through it right now. This is an ongoing thing. We tend to hire, you know, it's been like 4 or 5 young people per year. We're kind of like, we're not like a rocket ship. We're just kind of, you know, steady as she goes. But we found as a company over the years that just works for us. Very hard to add 100 new people at once and do that well. So we're like, you know, let's hire 5 or 6 and then absorb them, have them be trained up and productive. And then we'll go to the next group after that. And as time goes by, we keep adding people.
Well, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. I really appreciate you spending some time with us today to talk about the expansion there at Regent.
Sure.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.